Coming up next on The Balanced Word.
We do determine our future by doing nothing. If you do the things the same, your life is going to be the same, except it's going to get worse because you're going to be older. That's a choice we make. If I can find something that I am passionate about today, I can create a better future. It really will happen. And it's one of the greatest gifts from God, is the ability to influence our very own future by doing what we can do now to take care of what He wants to do later.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hello again. We're delighted to share this time together with you. We call the program The Balanced Word as we endeavor to live the sort of lives God wants us to. Sadly, many are just frittering away the precious gift of life they've been given, but that doesn't have to be your story. Today, Pastor Dave Rolfe will encourage us to steer away from laziness and live life with passion and energy. We're in a series called Smarter Living, where we're spotlighting some topics raised in the Proverbs. And today, the topic for discussion is laziness.
Solomon lets us know the natural tendency that's built into you is when you start feeling hungry, it should motivate you to work. Now, there are some people who would like to work, but they've lost their job, been laid off, or haven't been able to get a job yet. For those people, the work becomes finding work. I really respect people who don't currently have employment, but they get up every day and treat it like their job is to find a job. That's the way God has designed us. That's the way it ought to be. And, you know, yeah, it gets depressing when people go, did you find a job yet? No. And the motivation begins to die. The passion becomes lost. The ability and desire to actually put yourself forward and come off well in an interview is affected by that kind of deflating mentality. But we have to understand that poverty, you know, is created very often by laziness. And if we are lazy, we will certainly be impoverished. Even if we have a bunch of money because we inherited it or whatever, or we stole it, even then, other areas of our lives are going to be impoverished if we don't have that Protestant work ethic, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. The more we crush that, the more we disincentivize people from working, the more our society becomes just flat and dull and passionless. And that happens to our lives as well. But another thing about laziness is, laziness actually affects greatly your relationship with God. And it's not because God says, fine, if you're not going to work, then I'm going to ignore you. But you have to understand this. God is a working God. The very first thing we see about God in Genesis chapter 1, He has a week, He has 7 days, and He spends the first 6 days working, and then He rests for the seventh day. When He created people, though, right away He put them to work. Adam, name all the animals. Whoa, a creative task, no doubt. And then He told them, even before the fall, He said, tend the garden. You have chores, you have things that you're supposed to do. Because God made us in His image, and because He is naturally a creative, working God, He created us so that when we are at our best is when we are working and creative. And so when we just decide to pull ourselves out of that process and we say, I was designed to do something, but instead I'm just going to do nothing, whatever the reason, whatever the motivation, that causes us to lose our sense of connection with God because He's a worker. The best way to get to know somebody is doing something with them, working together on a task. It draws you closer, working for a common goal. And that's what God wants with us. And so Solomon understands, man, this isn't just about you and your stomach. This is about you and your God. This is something that will disrupt and intercept the potential that you have to grow closer to God through the work that He has given us. Personally, I believe that when we get to heaven, we're not going to be sitting around on clouds playing harps. I think we're going to have work to do. I think there are going to be tasks because we are designed to do that. And Proverbs understands that, I think. And you know, by the way, what you end up seeing from Solomon in the end of his life when you read Ecclesiastes is he's like, oh boy, life's just terrible. I'm so worn out. He quit working and he lost his passion. And in the end, he was just a jaded old man who kind of gave up. You don't want to be there. You don't want to do that. Drawing closer to God through diligent labor is an important concept that Solomon is addressing here. There's another interesting thing, and if you turn over to Proverbs 26, you can see this, something that the more I think about the scripture, the more I can connect with it concerning laziness. Proverbs 26 and verse 16, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. In other words, lazy people are arrogant, self-absorbed, and they think they're smarter than everyone else. I have seen this often with people who are disrupting their lives with laziness, and they always have a really good reason why they can't do anything, why they can't work. I've known people who, you know, they complain, oh, my life's so terrible, this is so awful, but if you make a suggestion as to, hey, have you thought about this or have you tried that? They have a reason. They've already worked it through, and basically they know more than everyone else. They, through their own pride and self-absorption, have already decided, no, there is no way I can change this. There is no way that I can possibly do anything other than what I'm doing, which is nothing, because of the economy, because of my parents, because of the, you know, lack of education, because of the political system, because of blah, 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 blah. Smart people who think they're so smart that actually for them to be lazy makes perfectly good sense. I knew a guy years ago, great guy, I really loved him, but he just had a hard time with motivation. And he was, fortunately, his wife had a really good job, but he was looking for work for, I don't know, 20 years or so that I knew him. And the problem is, every time you'd suggest a place that's hiring, he thought he was above that. He believed that he was to be some sort of an executive. Kind of like the, if you remember the old Jim Croce song, you know, about he's working at the car wash, but he's saying, a man of my ability, you know, should be smoking big cigars, talking trash to a secretary. And, you know, he saw himself as being more than he was. So this guy did that. So he would just go golfing like every day. And he would put in resumes as for an executive position. Year after year, he would do that. But you couldn't talk to him about it because he just knew, this is who I am. This is, you know, I'm not going to take a job that's beneath me. Later, he decided to become a pro golfer when he was like in his 40s. That didn't work so well either. But lazy people almost always think they're smarter than everyone else. They can't listen to thinking about doing anything differently because they think they've already thought it through. It's like people who fail in sports, some of them just always think their coach was an idiot. You know, that if they realized my potential, if they knew who I am, boy, it could have. I've known people who just, they can't understand why they don't serve God because they really think they should be on a stage preaching to thousands. And they're like, I'm better than Greg Laurie. Give me a stadium. I'll show you what a revival is. And it's like, really, you know, probably if that's the case, it might have happened already. But it's amazing the kind of reasoning lazy people can go through. Being lazy makes you stupid, but being lazy makes you think you're smart, makes you look down on everyone. I am so cautious. When I look at other people who are doing great things, and I start thinking that I'm superior to them, I could do that. Yeah, I don't. Why do they do it that way? The way I do it is the best way. It's really wise to be thankful for anybody who's doing anything and not just feel like I'm better than they are. I am superior to who they are. Why do we have to be better than others? Why do we have to look at the way somebody else does it and put that down? Sometimes it's because we just don't want to do what it is that we could do, and we just want to feel like I'm good the way I am. Now, what a lot of this comes down to ultimately is, do you really want to change? Lazy people, Tony Campolo wrote a really good book back in the 80s about the seven deadly sins. And when he's talking about sloth, you know, laziness, he said, what laziness is refusing to work, even though you know that your life would be better if you did. And I think it comes back down to, do you understand that you are designing your future? Do you understand that what you do today can make a difference in the future? And this comes up again and again in Proverbs. And next week, as we look at deferred gratification, it'll cycle through again. But the amazing thing that God created us with choices and that our future is in our own hands. What a lazy person does is they just say, I don't even think what I do is going to affect the future. Or they think, I know if I do something, it could affect the future, but I'm just not going to do it because I'm tired. I'm just not going to do it because I don't care that much. And we lose our sense of future. And the sad thing is, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't do anything with passion today, your future is definitely going to deteriorate. Ben Franklin, who other than Solomon, probably wrote more Proverbs than anyone that I can think of. He loved those little snippets. But he made the statement, he said, if you have finished changing, then you are finished. That's so true, because we are designed to change, but change is threatening. So if you hang on to your present reality and you don't change, how do you think the future is going to get better than now? And the truth is, the future will be worse than now because things tend to deteriorate. So hanging on to your present reality is a good way to kill off your future. Churches do this all the time. They go through this cycle where they, man, God does great things, and then people are like, let's just keep it this way. Let's just keep doing what's comfortable. And ultimately, a church will die if you do that. Your life will die. Your relationships will die. Everything in your life goes downhill if you don't do something to change it. That's the greatest call of our lives, really, is that here we have a future that's open, a future that's going, that we can influence, and the biggest barrier to your future and mine is laziness, is the decision that I don't need to be passionate, I don't need to be motivated, it doesn't really matter what I do right now, the future is going to take care of itself. The future doesn't take care of itself. Truth is, what we do today has a vital impact on what we become and on what our lives become. And Solomon understood that. He saw that. And it's something that if we don't understand, we do determine our future by doing nothing. If you do the things the same, your life is going to be the same, except it's going to get worse because you're going to be older. That's a choice we make. If I can find something that I am passionate about today, I can create a better future. It really will happen. And it's one of the greatest gifts from God, is the ability to influence our very own future by doing what we can do now to take care of what He wants to do later. He desires for us to do that. And we'll talk about next Sunday about the kind of deferred gratification that God had to have to send his son for us. The kind of deferred gratification that he has always had in his plan. It wasn't that he just automatically turns us into something, but he was willing to invest in us to give us an opportunity to do something, to work with him. So it all comes down ultimately to, are you going to let laziness steal your future? Because laziness will steal your future. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It'll cause you to come short of what life could be. Now, there might be people here today who really, you know, maybe you're new, you're visiting, or maybe you've been here a while, and you think, yeah, this Proverbs stuff, it's some good advice. But you've never actually come to the point where you know where you stand with God. You've never actually received his forgiveness. I mean, I want to make this very clear. The whole point of God's story is for us to understand when Jesus Christ died, it was for us so that we could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead, proving that it worked. And he gives us an opportunity to give our lives to him, to just say, okay, you can forgive me. Okay, I'll trust you. Okay, I will begin to live my life feeling like every day I am clean because of what Jesus Christ did. And since he rose from the dead, that's pretty impressive. Most of us in this room have come to understand that. But if you're here and you haven't, I just want to challenge you to think about your future. And instead of just thinking about next week and next year, think about forever. What are you doing to prepare for forever? Now, if you want, you can roll the dice and believe that when you die, it's just over. But there's something about humanity. There's something about life that something inside of you has to tell you, this isn't just all there is. And even if it's just a possibility that you are, as the Bible says, designed to live forever somewhere, don't you think it makes sense to look into that? Don't you think it makes sense to give him an opportunity to do what he promises that he will do? I meet people all the time who have just never really thought about their eternity that much. And I don't want to be offensive, but the only reason I can think of for turning down an offer of something like eternal salvation that's free, forgiveness that's just given to you, the only reason I can think of why somebody would put that off is they're lazy. They're lazy about their future. They're lazy about where they're headed. Too lazy to think about it. Oh, someday I'll get around to it. I know people who work really hard to provide for their future here, but they just haven't had the time to provide for their eternal future. And it just takes a few moments. It just takes a simple offer to God to say, okay, I'll take you up on that. You say you'll forgive me? You say that if I trust Jesus, everything will be forgiven and I can live forever in heaven? I mean, just take enough energy to make that. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try it. If it turns out that he doesn't make your life abundant the way Jesus promised, if it ends up turning out that you die and nothing happens, what have you lost? What has it cost you? But here is an offer from God that says, if you will take the time and energy to consider me now, here's what I'm going to give you. I can't see a downside. I can't see any reason why anyone rejects him other than they're just too lazy to think about it. They're just too self-absorbed. They're afraid of that there's some secret cost to it somewhere down the road, afraid that God's going to wreck their lives. Well, think about this. If you think accepting Jesus will cause your life to be ruined, that's pretty spooky that somebody would be that powerful to ruin your life, right? I mean, if there's no God out there, you can say anything you want. You can agree to anything you want. It's not going to mess you up. It's just so obvious. That's why the Bible calls it good news. I just want to encourage you today, don't be too lazy to think about the possibilities. That's all. If you say, I've looked all into it, I just can't believe it, I think it's nonsense, okay, I respect that. At least you're not being too lazy to actually think it through and to take God up on his promise. For all of us, though, our future, such a gift. But it's a gift that is given to us. We don't know how long it is here on earth. We know that eternity is a long time. And I just want to ask myself, if I have taken care of heaven and eternity, then why am I not willing to take care of next month and next year? That ought to motivate us. That ought to inspire us. We need to find out what we are passionate about and put our energy into it, because that is a gift that God has given us, that we are able to determine what's going to happen in our lives. And we've got to wake ourselves up. We've got to shake ourselves out of our lethargy and decide to take life as the gift that it is, and to begin to live it with passion and energy. And then to see what's going to happen as a result of that. Life is so precious that when you come to the last day of your life, you would give everything to have one more day, one more hour for most people. So why not do it now? Why not live it now? Don't let laziness steal your life now and your life in the future.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With this concluding prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of life, the gift of passion, the fact that we naturally were born into this world with strong feelings, with a pathos, with emotion, with reactions, with awareness, with interest and excitement in everything that was new and unusual, even fear. But Lord, life has done a pretty good job on most of us, that we're over most of that. And now we are becoming the people that Solomon talks about, who give into laziness, who just go through the motions, who are inadvertently advising and constructing ourselves to become something less than what we can be. Please wake us up, Lord. Energize us by your Spirit. And God, for the people who don't know you yet, I pray that you'll help them to just see how logical and reasonable this is. As Isaiah said, come, let's reason together. Your sins are like scarlet. They can be white as snow. Lord, help them to just think, man, I want to deal with this now. If the Bible says it's that simple to be forgiven and to gain eternity, why in the world wouldn't I want to do that? Help them to know it's that simple. There's no catch. You're not going to take anything away from them except damage and pain and ugliness. And you want to give them something so much better. So help them, please, to respond to that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll be looking at something called deferred gratification, or the capacity to turn down immediate rewards for the sake of gaining greater future rewards. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And